Mark chapter 8, verse 1 says, "In those days the multitude, being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples unto Him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with Me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And His disciples answered Him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And He asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and He took the 7 loaves, and gave thanks, and brake, and gave to His disciples, and set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and He blessed, and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and He sent them away." We're going to pray one more time. Brother Brad, if you would, pray for us.
Lord, we tell you we love you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, grace, and mercy. Thank you, Lord, that we get to come together this morning, Lord. Open up our Bibles and study your word.
Yes.
Help us, Lord, to believe it, Lord, to apply it to our lives, Lord. Walk it out daily, Lord, we may know you more, Lord, love you more, be more like you and less like me, Lord. Just be with Brother Chase, Lord, and he preaches and teaches this morning, Lord. I pray you give him clarity, Lord. Just help us to understand your word this morning, Lord, that we'll grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that we'll be better servants, Lord, that we'll be better stewards of the mysteries of Christ, that every man will be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth, Lord. And just thank you, Lord, again, for dying for our sins on the cross, Lord. Being raised again for our justification, Lord. We'll believe the gospel, Lord. You'll take our sin, Lord, and give us your righteousness, Lord. That it was a finished work on Calvary. Nothing we can add to it, Lord. Just thank you again for the simplicity of salvation, Lord. And that once we're saved, we're sealed with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption, Lord. We didn't get it. You got it for us, Lord. There's no way we can lose it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for getting me a good start, son. I got it right there. I got you, buddy. Go ahead. If y'all will, take your Bibles and turn with me to two places. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and Acts chapter number 1. And while you're turning there, what I kind of want to do is give you a little bit of introduction on what they're doing here and Mark and what the Lord's doing and kind of how we can apply it to ourselves today as you're turning to those two texts. What I like to do is show you the differences in the Bible, because you can't take all the Bible and think all of it is directly to you. Now, the whole Bible is for you to profit from, but the whole Bible is not to you doctrinally. Some simple illustrations I give you is, in the kingdom ministry, the apostles are going around preaching, and they're healing. Now, today, I did all that, and I don't have markers. I'm going to say, let me try this. All right, so I'm going to write a couple of these verses down to show you some differences. Today, you don't have healing as part of the ministry. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his ministry, he says, "Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." He prays for Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2 that God have mercy on him, and God did have mercy on him. Look, we believe in healing, but the Lord is the healer.
That's right.
We don't believe in these healers who go around saying, "Sow a money seed into my ministry," and they tell you, first of all, the seed is the Word of God according to the Bible. So there's no such thing as a money seed. And then they send you a whole, these people send them a whole bunch of money, and they say they got this healing ministry. If they really had a healing ministry, why don't they go up to the hospital and all these places where people are laying sick and heal some of those people? You know what that is? It's a sham. So I'm just trying to show you, healing is in the Bible. It's just not part of your program today, that God was doing a special thing there. And He had something He was doing with those miracles, and they were showing that the kingdom was at hand, because in the kingdom, the Lord's going to have everybody healed, and there's going to be no sickness, there's going to be no lame people, there's going to be no deaf people, no people who can't speak. So when the Lord was coming through there, and He had all those apostles healing, He's showing, hey, the kingdom really is at hand. Okay, so you got some things here about power. I want to show you some differences that you have. I told you Acts chapter 1 and then 1 Corinthians 12:13. And one thing you see in the Bible is that there are differences. In Acts chapter 1, he tells you that when you get the Holy Ghost. Now, like I said, you got to make sure before you cut me off, remember where we're at. Here in Acts chapter 1, the Apostle Paul hadn't been saved, and the mystery of the dispensation of the grace of God is not even known at this time. They're needing power for what the Lord was preparing them for in the Gospels. They're going to need in early Acts. All right, and so he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Now, he tells them over there that they're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And he tells them it's for power. Now, let me back up to verse 5 so you'll see what I'm saying. He says in verse 5 of Acts 1, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So, in Acts chapter 1, words mean things in the Bible. They get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Why? For power. We're going to look at some things in the Gospels about power. What's that power for? They're still healing in early Acts. They're still doing things in early Acts that had to do with the kingdom commission, because Stephen hasn't been stoned in Acts chapter number 7, and the Lord is still dealing with the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so that's in early Acts. Now he says, baptized with the Holy Ghost, what? For power. All right, well, that's like speaking, it's not in tongues, with tongues. Y'all know that's a biblical thing for people to speak with tongues. That means they never studied those languages in early Acts. They just started speaking and they never studied these things. Well, today, you don't have to have that. Those things were for a sign for unbelieving Jews. That was in prophecy that they do that. You've got a lot of this stuff going on today, and y'all, it's just, I'm not making fun of anybody. Y'all know I'm not coming from that. We're learning the Bible so we can help people. But a lot of these people are getting the different programs mixed up, and they think that they need that when that is not needed today. That was necessary in early Acts. For one, they didn't have a completed revelation, but that was according to the prophetic program. So they got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Who baptized them with the Holy Ghost? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:13, watch what your Bible says that has to do with you and your dispensation today. 1 Corinthians 12:13, he says, watch this little word, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." You know what that is? He tells you today, you've been baptized by, he says, the Spirit right there. So, I'm just writing it down so you'll see it. The word "with" and the word "by" is different. Also, y'all know that there's a Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God the Son baptized with the Holy Ghost for power in early Acts. Now that's different, why? Than being baptized by the Spirit. That's why we have a spiritual thing going on today. We're walking by faith and not by sight. They had sight things because they didn't have the Bible like we do for one thing. They're in a different dispensation, and signs were for the Jews. Now there's a difference, because I'm showing you this before I even get into Mark 8. You've got to see where you are in the Gospels. The cross hasn't even happened yet in the Gospels. And today, so much of the ministries today are mixing Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all these things that were going on before the cross, and putting it down on you. They're under the law in the Gospels.
That's right.
You have to get that. Also, they needed power to show them, hey, we're of God. And I'm going to show you here in a little while, there were two powers competing at that time. The devil and the Lord, and they were competing for things about the earth. I'm going to show you that as well. But I'm showing you today, you're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. Now what's that? You know that in the Bible there's all kind of baptisms. There's a baptism of suffering in the Bible. The Lord said, I have a baptism to be baptized of. And he'd already been water baptized. That's a baptism of suffering. So you've got to get the context of these words. Just because you say the word baptism don't mean water.
Right.
So he baptizes you and places you into the body of Christ. And once you trust the gospel, the grace of God, you are placed into the body of Christ.
Amen.
Now, you don't have the same thing they had. Why? There's a different program that you have than they had over here in the kingdom program. Now, I've got to show you these things as we start off, because for one, of course, here, y'all know we got one book. I'm not mean to anybody or anything, but look, God's got one book, just like there's one salvation and all this type of stuff. And Galatians chapter 5, I've got more time today, so I'm going to give you several verses. I'm going to read a verse to you about the Spirit. The Bible tells you the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You know what the New Bible tell you? Self-control. That is not right. Why? You don't need self-control. You need Spirit control. Self needs to be ruled out of that thing. You know what the Bible talks about the last days in 2 Timothy? They'll be lovers of their own selves. How do they get to be that way? They talk about how I'm doing this and I can do this and I've turned over this new leaf and all this stuff. That is a worldly mindset. I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, Paul says, dwelleth no good thing. But he says there is a good thing in you, Philemon chapter verse 6. If the Lord is working in you, that's the good thing.
Right.
So if the Lord's working in and through you and you have Spirit control, that's what temperance is. That's me not going by my thoughts and my feelings, because His thoughts are higher than mine. So you go by the Word of God and you say, I don't have to go by how I feel about things and what I think about things. What does the Word of God say about it? And then I can have Him control me instead of my flesh control me. Now, I'm telling you all that is because as we go through Mark, I'm going to make sure I preach this to you and show you the differences in the two programs, but also give you practical application on some similarities. You need control, but that is Spirit control. He's showing them, as we're getting in Mark chapter 8, He's showing them, you can't go by your flesh. You're going to have to go by the power of God, because I'm going to show you with the Bible here that at this point in Mark, they had not received the Holy Ghost. They're going to have power. But listen to this verse. See, these things will start clicking with you as you study and as you read more and see these differences. In John 7, verse 37, just listen to this. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. He says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is very interesting. This is what you need to remember. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Why? It tells you, because he was not yet glorified. He hadn't even been glorified yet. So what I'm showing you is they're still doing things. You say, well, how did they have the ability to be able to cast out devils and stuff because in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 7 it says, "And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits." They didn't have the Holy Ghost. He had to give them power, and it was temporary power to be able to do these things. Now, has that happened before? Yeah. You remember, even this is way, way before the cross. You remember reading about the judges over there, Samson. The Bible talks about how the Spirit would come upon him to do a service. And man, he's doing these wonderful things. He's delivering, you know, Israel. He's being the judge he's supposed to be. And then after that, before long, he's doing some of the most crazy things you've ever heard in your life. What's that? Because that's an Old Testament example of the Spirit being able to come upon them, but he would leave. Y'all remember David, he prayed, "Lord, take not the Holy Spirit from me." Why? He had seen Saul get the Spirit taken from him. Do you have to pray that today? No. Why? It says you're sealed to the day of redemption. I'm showing you as you read your Bible to become a new book to you once you start realizing the whole Bible is to you to profit from, but not all of it is to you doctrinally. So when you come through there, don't let those things scare you. Why? You're in a different dispensation when you're reading that. When you're reading epistles that are directed to you today in your dispensation, you know what that means? You're in a time that God is dealing with men differently than He has previous and differently than what He will whenever we're gone at the catching away of the body of Christ. It's called the rapture. And look, I've been trying to call it the catching away. People will write you emails and they say, "Well, rapture's not in the Bible." Bible's not in the Bible. It describes what's going to happen. We're going to be called away when the body of Christ is going to be called away. And people say that's crazy. Okay, well, you believe crazy stuff too. The world believes that we evolved from monkeys. Okay, well, that's just as crazy. Okay, so what I'm trying to show you is that He gave them power to do this thing because He had not yet been glorified. But there is a battle on earth for an earthly dominion at this time. You got to see this too. God is not dealing with nations today like He was dealing then. Listen to this. The powers at that time were at war for dominion on earth. Luke chapter 4. You may not have thought about it like this, but this is in the Bible. "And the devil said unto him," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it." The devil could give power. The Lord could give power, but the devil could give a counterfeit power. That's how in Matthew 7:22, the Bible says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Well, they're doing it in God's name, but by the power of the devil. So, in that time period, the devil has gotten dominion over the earth because Adam gave it to him. Now here's the thing that's the difference between the prophetical program and our program today. The earth was completely given over to the devil in Genesis. So now there's a fight over the earth and all that thing. When you're reading over there in Job, he said, where have you been? And the devil says, "I've been walking to and fro in the earth." He's telling the Lord, "I can go wherever I want to. It's mine."
That's right.
You know what he tells Abraham over there, way after Job's time? He said, "You go walk to and fro in the earth." And look, there's a battle going on for earth because, see, the Lord and the devil know that God has taken Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and He's going to reconcile the earth back through the nation of Israel. But guess what? The heavens were not clean to sight because Satan and his angels had disobeyed God. They had sinned, so the heavens weren't clean. So the devil knew that, hey, God is going to take Israel and reconcile the earth back to the nation of Israel. So they're fighting for earth of dominion here. That's why you got these powers. Remember reading about principalities of power? They're fighting. Okay, but he had no idea about the body of Christ and how God was going to reconcile the heavenlies back through the body of Christ, which is going on today. Whenever you trust the gospel, the grace of God, you're added to the body of Christ, baptized by the Spirit into the body, and then you're going to reconcile the heavens back. That's why you ever read in Ephesians where it says, you're seated with Him in the heavens?
Yes, that's right.
The Bible says, we look for the Savior, We're looking in heaven from whence cometh the Savior, the Lord. Where? From heaven. He's going to pull us out of here. We're going to be caught up and we're going to be up there. That's your domain. What? The heavens are reconciled by the body of Christ. The earth is reconciled by Israel. And these powers at this time are fighting. And that has to do with casting out devils and all that stuff. You know what today? There's a difference today. You don't have to worry about casting out devils and stuff like that. You know how the devil works today? False doctrine.
That's right.
You know how the devil works today? Messing people's minds up. That's why in 1 Timothy he warns you about false doctrine.
That's right.
And he says seducing spirits. What's that seducing? Tricking you. But look, seduction. That's not something looking up. You know, people think the devil, they got like cartoons. You know, if you watch Saturday morning cartoons, they got this devil. He's red. He's got a pitchfork. That is not true.
Right.
Look, demonic and satanic things look wonderful. And it will trick you and fool you. And it sounds good and wonderful. It says good words and fair speeches. Look, some of these preachers that preach some of this crazy stuff, they got some of the most beautiful buildings you've ever seen in your life. They all got real nice suits and the nicest shoes you've got. And everything they wear matches and stuff. And they sound good and it sounds wonderful. You know, just as false as it can be. That's it. He gets in their mind and messes up their mind. And the body will follow the mind. That's going on today. He's operating that way. Here, the dominion's over the earth, so it's earthly things. And guess what? Your body is earthly. And that's why to get in that kingdom, he's saying, look, you got to believe the message, but they can heal you. And then you'll go right in that kingdom with a healed body. That's a different thing than what you have. My body, I may have all kinds of things wrong with my body right now, but you know what? I'm going to get a brand new one according to the Word of God. And thank the Lord for that. Alright, so you've got these things going on. I'm trying to show you as I go in there, when we get to Mark here, and just if I can ever get past this introduction, we get in there, what he's trying to show me is, hey, they don't have that baptism with the Holy Ghost yet, so they're going to have to rely on His power to do these things, and they're forgetting. You got to realize, we just read something there. He had already fed 5,000, and He's about to do another feed, and they're questioning it. You see how quick you forget things? You got another thing. The Lord's preparing them for His ministry after the cross. The Lord is going to give them power from on high with that promised baptism with the Holy Ghost for power. And you know what that is? Those miracles are showing the powers of the world to come. Hebrews, that's doctrinally addressed to Hebrews. And chapter 6, verse 5, it says, and have tasted the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come. The Lord is going to rule from Jerusalem right here on planet Earth. But you got to understand, the heaven, the body of Christ is going to be ruling from heaven in cooperation, perfect cooperation with the Lord as head. But we're going to be working in perfect cooperation with the ministry of the reconciliation of Israel from earth. And the things are going to work perfectly, just like it was in the beginning. Do y'all know that? You ever read your Bible there in Genesis? It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. You don't read about heavens until later. Why? Because after the devil fell, then he puts a great deep up there, and then you got the first heaven, the second heaven, and then there's a firmament, and then you got the third heaven. Well, after everything is reconciled again, at the end of all these things, the heaven is going to be reconciled with the body of Christ ruling from heaven. See, that's what it says. You're going, okay? And then the kingdom will come down to earth, and then Israel will do just like they're supposed to. They're going to rule from planet earth. So you got that thing, that Bible, you can't beat that Bible now. Okay, so when we're reading here, he's having to show them before that baptism with the Holy Ghost is available, hey, look, I will give you this power needed, but you're going to have to rely on me because they don't have enough sense to see what's going on. Now, how does that apply to us today? You better operate by faith and not by sight, because none of us have enough sense to see what's going on.
Right.
We don't know what's going to be on tomorrow.
That's right.
You got all these predictions. It's hilarious now, after several years of seeing this. You got these economic predictions, and this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. All they're doing is making predictions. They don't know.
That's right.
You know what we realize? I've got enough faith to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, if He said He can provide all our needs according to His riches and glory, if I've got a spiritual need to have my mind be able to get through no matter what hard time comes, that's what you need most.
Amen.
Need a good sound mind. So he's showing them some things, I think, that we can benefit from. So again, I want to read to you what we're looking for. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to Him. Also, in their program, He's coming to them. Matthew 25:31, that's what He tells them. He says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. You know what He's doing? He's showing them the weakness of their flesh. He even tells Simon Peter over there in Matthew 26:41, he says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What he's doing is he's taking them through these things before the cross. And they're happening for a specific reason, because later he tells them, you're going to bring things to remembrance that I've showed you in this early ministry. Let me remind you. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Speaking of the disciples. And what he's saying is, later on, after all these things have happened, you get the power from the Holy Ghost. He can remind you of all these things said and done, and you won't have to think about it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's completely different from what we have today. You know what? Today, you're commanded, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, right to divide the word of truth. You're not going to be having things brought to your remembrance unless you study. You got people, I remember back when I was in school, people would say, man, pray for me. I got a test tomorrow, so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, if you didn't study for it, I'm going to pray that you have enough sense to study. But he's not going to just enter information into your mind. This is a special situation right here where he had a different ministry with them, and they don't have as much time because they're looking to go into Daniel's 70th week. Now, what happened with all this stuff? It was put on hold for our dispensation, and he'll pick back up after the body of Christ is out of here. Now, I tell you all this stuff all the time because you got to get that right. You know what we're supposed to do today? Study and enter the information in your mind so that you can help other people. People, I've heard even preachers get up and say, you know, I'm just going to get up here and take a verse and take a fit, and I'm going to let God fill my mind. You fill it with garbage. You better have been studying so you can help people previous to whenever you get up there and preach. That's why you hear a whole lot of stories and jokes and poems and stuff. Why? Because they hadn't been studying. Oh, lady, look, I might say something funny here today, but I hope y'all didn't gather up here to hear a whole bunch of jokes. It's not until y'all can get on there and listen to something on Netflix if you want to. Jokes. This is about the Word of God. Okay, so one thing I want you to see as we get into this thing, now that you know where we're at, this is before the cross, under the law, I'm going to give you some practical application as we go into these things. Number one, I want you to see in verses 1 through 4, there's a need for repetition. Why did he do this? Why is he going to feed them again when he had just had a feeding of 5,000, they took up 12 baskets full. Now he's going to feed them again, and they're going to take up 7 baskets full. Well, there's 12 apostles. There's 12 tribes of Israel. And the previous feeding, they took up 12 baskets full, saying he can provide for all the tribes in the time they're going into. They're in the wilderness. That's a picture of what's going to happen in the tribulation. See, they don't know anything about the grace of God and the dispensation we're in. All they know is they're going to have to go through the great tribulation and finish out Daniel's 70th week. So they have to have knowledge of knowing God can take us through those things. So you know what he's saying? The same God that fed the Israelites when they came out of Egypt and He fed them with manna from on high, the God of the Bible done that. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's saying, look, if you trust me, Just like He's feeding them in the wilderness. I can feed you when you go in that dry time. I can feed you when you go in there. And they're going to have to go to the wilderness, Revelation 12. He's saying, just like the God that you read about in Exodus that done that, Jesus is saying He is God and He can feed them through that. So it's 12 baskets, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles. Guess what? Right here they take up 7 baskets. You know how long is left in the tribulation? 7 years. He can take the 12 tribes and He can take the 12 apostles through the 7 years of tribulation. You see what He's doing right there? He's repeating the miracle, showing them who He is. He is none other than the God
Amen.
That they've been reading about all these years.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to give Christ the preeminence. The Lord Jesus Christ is the God of the Bible. He's the one that helps you. So, what's the principle today? Here's the principle today. Philippians 3:1. Listen to this. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. Same things. To me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. He said, I'm writing the same things. You know one thing, when I first started preaching, I was so scared of repetition. I was so scared y'all think I wasn't studying, that I wasn't repeating things. And then I'd bring something else up and he said, well, that's okay. I think I've heard you say that before. I'm trying to each Sunday repeat something from the last lesson and then build upon it. Repeat and build upon it. I'm learning, just like the Lord in His earthly ministry repeated this miracle to show them something. The Apostle Paul says over in Philippians, I'm writing the same things because you need repetition to go over and over, and it becomes clearer and clearer as you repeat it. He says in 2 Timothy 2:2, He says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We don't have to make up a whole bunch of stuff. You know what helped me in preaching? I don't have to go out here and buy a whole bunch of books up, study this book, and study on this illustration, sell this stuff. Just study the Word of God and preach and teach the Word of God and commit. All right, once you do that, commit the same thing to someone else who's faithful and let them teach it. And then doctrines that are supposed to be established will be established.
Right.
You know why? There's so many different people who believe this and believe that and other things. The same things haven't been committed to faithful men. And that's why this one believes this and this one believes this other thing. And look, eternal security is in your Bible. I try to tell you something about it every Sunday. You need to know that, because otherwise if you don't know that the Lord has you once you are saved, that's why I like the word saved. It's in the Bible.
Yes, right.
Once you're saved, you're saved.
That's right.
Now your flesh can make to mess up big time and you sin big time, and sin is sin. But I'm going to tell you this right here, you'll have consequences in the flesh for it. But as far as your salvation is secure and is sealed, that's not some preacher's opinion. That is the Bible.
That's right.
And look, I'm just going to level with you. If I thought I was going to lose what God had given me, I'd be scared to death when I got here in the highway. I'd be the most paranoid person you've ever seen in your life. You'd be talking about, well, hold on, get away from me, get me sick.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you know what? Don't get me wrong. I'm not wanting to get sick. Don't give me the stomach virus now. But you know what? At the same time, if I get sick and die, you know what? I know I'm going to be absent with the body and present with the Lord.
Amen.
Because I know where I'm at in the dispensation I'm at. I'm not in a covenant relationship like Israel is. They're waiting for their atonement at the second advent. You already have, Romans 5 says, you have now the atonement. You've got everything you need. Not only that, you don't have to add anything once you're saved. The Bible says in Colossians, you're complete in Christ. You know what? So much so, people say, well, so-and-so's living this way, so-and-so's living that way. You know what? The Bible says, I am dead and my life is here with Christ in God. That's where that song, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, comes from. My soul is hid in the cleft of the rock, so to speak. I'm hidden there. That rock is Christ, 1 Corinthians 10:4. You see, that helps you so much, because every one of you, I don't know what y'all have going on in your life, but I know this, according to the Word of God, you got a flesh and spirit battle. Paul says, the things that I would, I do not. Does that not? No, I'm not trying to point fingers at you, because I've been sitting with y'all, preacher, seem like he'd point at me every Sunday. I said, he knows. I have no idea. I have no idea what y'all got going on in your behind the closet, but I know this right here. God knows it, and He forgave you for every single bit of it. He knew every little thought, He knew every little word you were going to do when He went to the cross and still went to the cross for you.
That's right.
Now look, a preacher can get up and brag on somebody that done that. that. I mean, what a blessing.
That's right, sir.
So once you know that you have these things, you can rest now that you can serve knowing, hey, I don't have to worry. If I'm going to make him so mad, he's going to kick me out. No, I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. I'm part of his body.
That's right.
You got to see those things. And so repetition. Sunday in, Sunday out, you repeat that thing. You know what that does? That gives you a confidence. When you walk out of here, you can serve better knowing where you are in Him.
That's right.
Man, that helps me. That needs to be repeated. Why? Nowadays, everybody wants some new thing. Acts 17:21 says, the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. People want some new doctrine today. What we got new that I never heard before? Look, we need something so old it would be new if anybody would just try it.
That's right.
Don't need this new stuff. Y'all, people come up with stuff. I have had some of the craziest things the past year or so told to me because people have got access to all these conspiracy feeds. And I'm not saying some of that stuff may be so. There's some weird things going on. But if I can't prove it, what does it matter? People say, well, so-and-so is going to happen. It's going to change your DNA. And they say, do y'all know that the foods you eat changes your DNA anyway?
Right.
What does it matter if something changes my DNA? I've even heard something. I'm just going to get... Well, I talk to y'all like family anyway. People say back, you know, when all this vaccine stuff was going, they say, well, you take the vaccine, changes your DNA. I don't care what it does. Why? Because, again, I am dead and my life is here with Christ in God. Wherever they do this body, it don't matter anyway. The worms are going to get this body. This body going to die one of these days and it's going to rot in the ground. So, yeah, I want to kind of take care of it and I like to exercise and some of y'all do, but I'm going to tell you this right here. It don't matter how much you exercise. As time goes on, you're getting weaker and weaker and weaker. You can try to delay the process, but this body is going to die one day. And thank the Lord that, look, I have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not like, I hope so, I hope so. It's the hope, the confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it says in 1 Timothy 1:1, Jesus Christ is our hope.
Amen.
That's what's such a blessing of serving the Lord. I don't have to go around and going, I just hope so. But just maybe one day, I'm already seated with her in heavenlies. I'm just waiting to catch up with him with my body. You see, now, that gives you something to preach on. Man, I'll tell you something. It's just, I can't even get to my notes. So you got, I need a repetition. We need to repeat things. But God knew that, according to even in Job, he said, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. He knows he has to repeat things because we forget so easily. People talk about keeping this and keeping that. You can't even remember where you put your glasses the other day. You can't even remember where you put your cell phone, much less remembering stuff about your salvation and stuff like that. Every one of us lose stuff. Thank God He's keeping it. Alright, so you got repetition. And repetition's good. Strength also, a show of strength of religion. In verse 9, after all these things He feeds them, it says at the bottom of verse 9, and He sent them away. Well, you know right there that they've got a problem and religion's got a hold on them because all they were doing was seeking His hand and not His heart. How do you know that they were wrong? Look at Mark 8:34. It says in verse 34, and when He had called the people, remember all this happened with people, the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now, had they believed what He said over there, instead of just seeking the miracles, they would have done that right there. But they didn't keep following Him. He had to send them away because He knew that all they wanted was the food. And John chapter 6 gives more light on this thought. Listen to John 6:26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek Me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. He knew their heart wasn't right. You know why a lot of people are around the Lord and the Lord's thing to see what they can get out of it?
Right.
Some people come to church to see if they can, well, maybe I could do this, that, and other service for the church, and they pay me real good, all this, that, and this stuff. Look, it's all about the money. Now look, don't get me wrong. I believe a church ought to take good care of folks, do things for them. But that's not the motive of why you do things for the Lord. Some people, if they can't get something out of what God's got going on, if they can't leech off of it, they're not going to have anything to do with it. That's what's going on right here. That's what religion has a hold on people, and they don't know what real gain is. And just like religion had a hold on them, today you're warned about things that do the same thing that religion was doing to this crowd. A familiar verse, Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition." Well, you know, Mama said, and Grandma said, and we've always done it this way. I don't care how you've always done it. If it's against the Bible, what does it matter? Look, there are people who, just because they've always done it that way, you show them the Bible verse where God says something different. They say, "Well, we just always done it that way." Well, that's the same thing that goes on. He said, after rudiments of the world, not after Christ. You know what that philosophy is? People teaching philosophy now. You ever been to a place and you want to mark something down in your notebook, you want to mark something down in your Bible, you've been studying and stuff, and you go there, and this guy, he'll read a text of Scripture and go off all out here in no man's land and tell you all kind of stuff, don't have anything about the Bible verse, and come back and say a prayer at the end and make out like he's taught you something. Y'all, that goes on in churches all over this world. You ever wondered about that verse where it says they'll be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? You say, how could that happen? It goes on all over the world.
Right.
They'll read one Bible verse, if they read one Bible verse, and tell you a whole bunch of junk that don't have anything to do with the verse or the Word of God. And so you're learning something, but it doesn't have anything to do with the truth of the Word of God.
That's right.
When you come here as a fellowship of believers, we're trying to learn here what little bit of time we have about the Word of God, then go outside and try to apply it to our life. Well, every one of us got bills to pay, and we got families to feed and things to do. All you do is take the Word of God and apply it to your life daily.
That's right.
And so it's just become a program, and they see what they can get out of it, no different than what they're doing right here. They just wanted to be fed. They didn't care anything about following the Lord. Now, as far as doctrinally concerned, right here, he said, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you're in bad shape. Now, I'm going to tell you this right here. You know that's different from your dispensation today, because the Apostle Paul has to write to the Corinthians, and they were not following the Lord, and he tells them they're still saints.
That's right.
Well, you're living in a different dispensation. You got people who read this verse right here, and they take that thing, and there's been people go up and down the road carrying a literal cross, going up down the four lane and stuff. And now look, I'm not running the guy down. I'm just saying he had a verse for it, but that does not mean that's biblical. What? Who's going to help, and who's going to feed all these families, and who's going to pay the bills and make sure we got a place if everybody's running around with a cross on their back? That's not what he's talking about for you today. Right then, he's saying, look, you better be prepared to die, because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to get killed. And in the time period they're going into, there's going to be martyrs in tribulation. And anybody following the Lord Jesus Christ, they're subject to get their head cut off.
Yes, sir.
And y'all know that. So I need to show you those delineations as well. Now also, with what time I have left, I want to show you in verse 11 a common evil request. Look at verse 10. He says, "And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation." Now later, he tells them in Matthew 12 and Luke 12 that the sign of Jonas was going to be the only sign they got, because Jonas died in the belly of the whale, and the Lord, of course, brought him back up. That's death and resurrection. Then he said the whole place repented at the preaching of Jonas. You know what the trouble was? He said, the only sign I'm going to give them is that. But the trouble is, they're not going to repent.
That's
They're not going to change their mind. So you know what we need to realize today? He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Don't fall into all this sign stuff. You know, here a while back, whenever Israel was going to war, there were people out there saying, this is the end of the world. Even some of them went so far as to say, now they're not going to cut off their YouTube channel because they're false prophets now. But they're saying in a few months this thing's going to, and it's going to kick off and this is going to be the end. So they still got the YouTube channel up and the end hadn't happened. You know why? We're not looking for signs. That is not what we look for. You know what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5? It says we walk by faith and not by sight. You can't go by all this stuff that's going on. You know what? The world's been crazy and the world's going to be crazy. People have made bad decisions and people have been going to war and they're going to continue to go to war. Even the Lord said, whenever He talks about the end of time itself as far as this present evil world, He said there are going to be wars and rumors of wars, and He said, let not your heart be troubled. Well, because it's going to be earthquakes. You got these people. Some people literally keep track of all the earthquakes that's going on, all this stuff. There's going to be earthquakes now. They've been earthquakes, and there's going to be earthquakes until the Lord comes back. So don't let those things trouble you. There's so much information out there now about all this speculative stuff. And they all said, this is signs of the times. You know what Jesus said? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign.
That's right.
That's from the Lord Himself. You know what we've got to make sure we do? Just operate by faith. Don't transfer that stuff. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not being rough on it. I'm just showing you how can we be better for our families. We don't have to transfer that old crazy stuff that people, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Look, just go home and enjoy your life and enjoy your family. And walk with the Lord each and every day and do the best you can to live a good, happy, joyful life, because this is enough stuff already in your life trying to drag you down in the start with. Much less, I mean, even fighting the flesh every single day, that's a rough battle right there. Much less drawing things that the world wants to say, here's a sign. And the Lord said, don't pay any attention to this stuff. You know what? To them, He said it was a sign of the prophet Jonas. In their dispensation, the resurrection was a sign. Now, they saw the resurrected Lord. The apostles, the believers and stuff, they saw, once He resurrected Mary, they saw the resurrected Lord. I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anybody else says they have, they haven't. You know what we have? We got the Word of God. I believe it. Yes. And I know today, according to verses like Romans 5, verse 21, I know what the resurrection means to me. He says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We obtain righteousness and eternal life as a present possession because of the resurrection.
Amen.
That's what the resurrection means to us. I don't have to see the Lord. I've got the sight of faith right here. Walk by faith, not by sight. If you don't believe the Bible, and people don't believe the Bible, even in the Word of God, He said, though somebody rose from the dead, they wouldn't believe. If you don't believe that this Word of God is from God, there's nothing that the human mind can do to convince you. I've told you this before. I'm trying to close now. But so many people talk about all these discoveries, Noah's Ark, and they think they really found the Ark, and they think they found a jawbone of so-and-so, and they found this pottery that matches David's stuff. We don't have to have any of that stuff.
No.
I don't have to have any pottery. I don't have to have any of these revelations. They say the Dead Sea Scroll. I got all I need right here. Don't need no more scrolls. We got faith, and the faith is in the Word of God.
That's right.
And once you rest in that, well, you know what I can do? I can walk out these doors and know I have things that I just trust the Word of God to work in. You know what we're supposed to do? Pray. We're supposed to pray for each other. They had an evil request wanting a sign. You know what we're supposed to do today? Here's the last verse. I am closing. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that, watch this, that we could ask. He said, all we ask or think. Now look, I can think some pretty wonderful things, I think. But He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Why? He's above all and He knows all. You know what? He tells you, according to the power that worketh in us. The Lord makes intercession for us when we pray. That's a blessing right there. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And whenever you pray, here's the Lord making intercession for you, and He's able to do things above what you can ask or think. We may pray, and He says, yeah, I know they think this, and they're asking this, but He knows more than you're asking, and He knows more than you're able to think. So He's able, that's how He's able to work all things together for good. So why did it happen this way? The Lord knows what's good for you. You know, y'all had children, y'all raised children. You know, a lot of times children say, candy! And they say, ice cream! And, I got her attention now. And you know what we'll say? We'll say, no. It's not that we didn't want to give them what they asked for. We know what's best for them. The Lord knows what's best for you. Keep praying. Keep praying. You say, well, I'm not getting my prayer answered. He probably answered it, but in the best way. And you may not see the thing work out until years down the road. But I'm telling you this. According to that verse, you can trust the Lord. Everything He says and does is right. And we trust Him. We'll close out there. Hope it was a help.